Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. And get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills and online at duffysbeer.com.
You already know that Invisible Fence Brand creates happier homes where pets can safely play in the yard out of danger. But did you know we also have products to help your pets avoid bad behaviors with trash cans, furniture, and unsafe areas both inside and out? We even offer a programmable pet door for more pet freedom. And expert installation plus professional pet training guarantee success. To schedule a free in-home consultation, visit InvisibleFence.com or call 1-800-578-3647.
Good morning!
Crib Live Radio presents the Morning Sports Report.
And this is my wake-up show. I'll be coming at you every morning. About this time, hoping to make your experience the best available in this price range.
An update and preview of everything going on in Pittsburgh sports. Now the Morning Sports Report. Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Just when you think Antonio Brown might be a runaway winner for Jagoff of the Week, we've got Jagoff Manna from Heaven in Columbus, Ohio. Old buddy Torts is back. Gotta love it. John Tortorella hired by the Columbus Blue Jackets this morning with Todd Richards whacked. Will he get votes, guy, just on general principle today?
He gets them every week, whether he's in the news or not, so I'm sure
really
he will.
Does. He really does.
It's hard to believe you could go 0-7. I mean, we were panicking at 0-3. And that team came on, once it got healthy last year, I thought that team had a shot at winning the division.
I agree. And I think Rossi, it was one of the teams Rossi was saying is better than the Penguins, the reason why they'd missed the playoffs. It doesn't look that way as much, not that the division's not tough, but at least for the start, can he turn them around? Is that a good move?
How about him getting hired on a night where the Penguins won because of their three freaking stars? Not
their
just two freaking stars.
I wonder what would happen if we did it to their two whining stars over there. I wonder what would happen.
They're three freaking stars now, with Kessel scoring, too.
Oh, I thought you meant Fleury.
Well, there's four then, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah, much to talk about with the Penguins, but they beat the Penguins to the punch. This was a name that was thrown out there that could have come in and coached this team, although
that
seems like oil
that
and water.
That never would have happened. I think Crosby would have retired. I think if they had announced that Tortorella was the new head coach, Crosby would have said, oh, no, I feel dizzy. Those lines are coming back on the outside of my eyes again. Oh, where are the boards? I'm confused. He would rather retire than play for that douche nozzle.
Well, first coaching vacancy in the NHL. And Torts gets the job. It's another these guys are all recycled, I guess. Not all of them, because Mike Johnson's not recycled. But, man, the lifespan of NHL coaches just goes on and on, doesn't it? Tarian's back. I mean, how many times did the Devils rehire what's-his-name?
Lou Lamoriello?
Yeah, well, Lou Lamoriello, but also
Jacques Demers.
Jacques Demers came back several times. Yeah, I mean, you go on and on. Anyway, voting will commence here for Jagoff of the Week.
Oh, Jacques Lemaire. I'm sorry. I meant Jacques Lemaire. My bad.
Yeah. I know you always have quite the campaign to arrange. I just wanted to start with Antonio Brown and his candidacy. I would think he's a worthy on several levels here, not just for last week's pop-off to the media, but also for what we saw on the field when Landry came in. Not just Mike Vick. This went to two quarterbacks over the span of a week and his displeasure with not getting the football. That's pretty Jagoff behavior. Whether you think it's a big deal or
not. Well, even that displeasure, to me, is overshadowed by yelling at a guy on the field in front of 65,000 people. You just
especially
don't do
given
that.
The circumstances of it, too. Who yeah. It was in the time and the situation when he did it.
Yeah, and I'm tempted to vote that way just because of that. I don't think you can really – you're not going to bench him. He's good enough that you kind of roll your eyes and let it go. But it's just – it's not a good look. And maybe should deserve a couple of votes today, but – I'm hesitant to pull the trigger on that. I want to see all the candidates as they come in here.
Yeah, every time I listen to, you know, like I said yesterday, if you look at one tiny phrase or sentence from what he says or just listen to a 15-second clip, it angers you more than if you listen to the whole thing. He says some of the right stuff, too. I mean, we all know he's worried about his own numbers, and he's a typical prima donna receiver, but I don't know that I'm quite ready to go there.
I had no idea.
You keep talking. Okay. Was that? We've rigged it so you wouldn't talk today.
That's well, I'm going to pull out my Chicago newspaper from last week and read the Joe Torre quote because that's where I was leaning when I come in.
Yes.
This is one of those days where I'm going to let our beloved listeners maybe sway me in a way because they always come up with something I haven't thought of here. Oh, where is it? I know I saved that paper for the sole purpose of reading it today.
You broke this story to me, Guy, because I'm not sure it would have gotten any play in town if you hadn't brought that paper back from Chicago.
Yeah, I wonder what the papers are saying today. Maybe the entire Cubs team has plantar fasciitis right now, jagoffs. Ha ha.
Let me go back to the Antonio Brown thing now that my microphone is working again here for just 1 second, because like I was saying, if you just hear it in a 15-second clip, it sounds worse than it does. I don't view it that way. I say if you hear it in a minute-long clip or a 90-second clip, it sounds less bad than it should. I think the intent is there in the 15 seconds. The intent is there to say, give me the ball. The intent is there to say, I'm worried about my numbers. Mm-hmm. The intent is there to say, I'm open, I should be getting it more. If Ben were here, I'd still have great stats. That's at the core of this, and then he's massaging it with more talk about, well, it's in the best interest of the team, and I'm just trying to win, and so forth and so on. Yeah, he's trying to win. Yes, it's in the best interest of the team. We all understand that. But still, you're asking for the ball more. You're demanding the ball more, and you're showing up your quarterbacks in an effort to do so. I think the 15 seconds of what Antonio Brown is saying in these little clips that people have been hearing and the short quotes that people are seeing in the paper actually do tell the whole story. It's not like he's – I think we have a preordained image in our head of what a wide receiver tantrum looks like. Like it's Dez Bryant pounding on the ground or throwing his helmet around. And no, he wasn't doing that. And it wasn't at a high volume. He wasn't yelling or screaming or sounding dissatisfied. But the message is there in the actual words.
And it was on the field on display for everybody, right?
Right.
When you're screaming at Landry
he was, Jones. Yes, he was stomping and pounding there. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that's not being misquoted or taken out of context or anything. Yeah. I'm not even sure Antonio Brown would ever even say that. He just continues to say,
I want the ball more.
I want the ball, yeah. So nothing's changing. But it's not a big deal unless it hurts them to the point where Landry's staring him down this week, as we thought Mike Vick might have been in the first quarter last week, you know, and going overboard.
If he really wants to get to the crux of the matter, he wanted more money before the season, and this is going to kill chances of him getting the mega contract that he's looking for, because you're going to look at his numbers at the end of the year and they're not going to be anywhere near what they've been the previous 3 years, wherein he's led the NFL in yardage and catches.
But if he had been paid the most money of any receiver, he still would be whining. I mean, it's just the way he is.
Like if he had the highest contract in football, yeah. He'd still want more?
Yes. He'd still want more catches. If he were getting two catches a game, he'd still be out there.
Right.
It's still his ego that's on display. It's still his, you know, he wants to be at the top of the chart. He referenced the stat sheet.
He never wants to have a single person come up to him in a bar and say, hey, Antonio, you're letting me down on my fantasy team. Like, that to him is as much of a kick in the nuts as losing a game.
I think so. And it's a tough call because I like him. I like him as an athlete and his work ethic and as a person. I got no problem when he talks. He's a little bit odd, but he's not a bad guy.
Well, as I said last week, the very position brings this out in people, and it always has. There's not much else for a receiver to do but catch the football. Guys like Hines Ward are different. And most of them don't block. At the most, they take a couple of guys downfield with them. If you're a fullback, if you're a halfback, a tailback, if you're a tight end, if you're another guy who touches the ball occasionally, but the play doesn't come to you, you've still got a job to do. You know, the tailback's going to help block for the quarterback. The fullback's going to block for the other running back. The tight end is going to become an offensive lineman. So you have other things to do. I mentioned to Al Villanueva when I talked to him for our special last week is because he's been lined up as a receiver eligible on a couple of plays and played wide out at 6'7" at Army when he was at West Point, is it a big dream of his to catch one pass someday in the NFL? And he said, no. He says, I understand my position and what my duty is. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, I mean, everybody doesn't think along those lines, but I think football is a very selfless sport, other than for quarterbacks and for receivers. They're the two that where the game centers around them, and with quarterback it actually does. Chicago yeah. Sun-Times last Thursday, when every writer in the paper was kissing the Cubs' ass for how great they were, this guy, Gordon Wittenmeyer, was writing about the injury and the suspension and the appeal with Utley, with the Utley slide. And he says, if the Cubs get two games against the Utley-less Dodgers lineup, because he had taken out Ruben Tejada. He says, credit Coughlin with an assist. His legal slide in Pittsburgh that broke Pirates shortstop Zhang Ogong's leg on September 17th was used by Joe Torre to compare with Utley's and help make the determination. Torre's quote, I hadn't really seen that play until the Utley thing happened, said Torre. I dragged it back to look at it. It was the one that happened most recently, and I didn't see any similarities in the two.
That is so Jagoff.
Yeah, that's my vote.
Guy not doing his job.
Yeah, that's my vote.
Part of your job.
Yeah. It's a Pirate, so I don't care. It's a Cubs, so I'll look at it. Or, I mean, the Mets.
What Jagoff are you going with there? Torre himself or the writer who called it a legal slide?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Torre because the writer can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I was ready to go there. I was ready to start off the day by saying I stick with what we found after we gave Jagoff the week last week and immediately could have recrowned Joe Torre. I wanted to go down that path. But so much happened since then, and what has now become a tradition for Jagoff of the week, it all seems to happen on Wednesday once we finish. So it feels old. It feels kind of stale by the time we get here.
No. Last week we got Sean Rodriguez for the Gatorade cooler. That was a late.
Had to kind of remind ourselves. And I commend Guy for doing the same thing here with Joe Torre, for sticking with it for a full week. I was ready to go the later on Wednesday path of anything that happened in that Toronto-Texas game. Like Sam Dyson, the Texas pitcher that melted down and misinterpreted Encarnacion trying to calm the crowd, thus making it worse by going over and yelling at him. So I thought about him. The Batista bat flip I left alone. But I thought about Dale Scott, the umpire, who screwed the thing up in the first place by blowing the play dead when he shouldn't have. He didn't know the rule. Yet again, another umpire or ref who doesn't know the rule. Then I thought about the fans for throwing beer on the baby. I thought the fans in Toronto deserved some consideration.
Or the mother for bringing the baby.
Yeah, well, you know, he was behind a net. So I guess if he's behind the net, you're thinking he's going to be safe. But
that's safe from beer.
Yeah, bringing two babies. I thought anything in that game. And then I realized, you know who else needs to be brought back into this conversation is the Texas governor. Because officially that night, both of his teams were eliminated after he sent out the tweet, which I thought was fabulous. So I thought we should renominate him.
Well, that was my pony last week, and I got no votes. So I'm, like, humiliated. I can't run again. I feel like one of those presidential candidates that got lost in a landslide, and I just don't have the heart. You know?
I consider the Steelers PR department for your situation that you got involved with, Ken, where they only tweeted out the partial transcript of the Antonio Brown discussion.
Ooh, I like that one.
I thought the Steelers PR department definitely deserved a few votes along the way.
The quote-unquote full Antonio Brown transcript?
Right. There, when they tweeted out what they called the full Antonio Brown transcript, when really it was half, and it was just the half after he was demanding the damn ball. And then you stepped up and you put out the full transcript. So you get jag on for that. They get jag off for their part in the discussion. And then I got to the NFL, and I thought NFL for the fines and suspensions that they've been handing out, but at the same time, they want people to push this breast cancer awareness thing. So for fining Cam Hayward,
a lot of candidates.
For D'Angelo Williams and the pink that he can't wear in his uniform, I thought all of those were worthwhile. But I can't get away. I can't get away from Sunday night, Chuck Pagano and the Indianapolis Colts for this. Because you want audio?
You got Griff Whalen ready to take the snap.
Illegal formation. The whole right side of the line was not on the line of scrimmage. Offense. This penalty is declined. The result of the play is first down for New England.
There is absolutely no way possible that they should have snapped that ball and tried to sneak it. There were three, four, five guys around two players. That was insane.
That's so beautiful, Tim.
And it has to be Pagano, because as Chris Collinsworth said there, you shouldn't have snapped the ball. And a lot of people wanted to put it on the players. And I was even ready for a minute to put it on the players. But then I thought to myself, what is he trying to do here with this? What is he really trying to do? What he was trying to do was give to Belichick what Belichick gave to all, and I mean all of football, with that Baltimore Ravens game in the AFC playoffs last year. I'm smarter than you, and I'm going to show you how here. He was trying to give a middle finger back to Belichick by putting that play in, so he had an opportunity to stand in front of the podium and say, read the rule book like Tom Brady did. And it failed miserably. It blew up in his face. And then it got even worse. Did you read the Pat McAfee transcript? Did you read the description?
I did hear.
He went on Bob and Tom, their radio show, and he described in depth what really happened on that
play.
Who
are Bob and Tom?
They used to do a national show. It started in Indy. Now I think they're just doing it locally again in Indianapolis. But they're like a comedy team, all right? So he goes on their show, and he describes how it went wrong on so many levels, including the center, Whalen, who was not supposed to be doing that. The guy who was supposed to center the play got hurt, so he wasn't even in the game, and they decided to run the play anyway.
So, well, they weren't supposed to snap it, though, right? They just wanted to be a decoy.
Right, but he didn't know that the kid behind him, Colt, whatever his name was, that was calling for the snap, was going to give a fake hard count to try to draw the guys offside.
Oh, so that's why he snapped it.
So he didn't know that wrinkle was added in there. Oh, they added in that wrinkle, told the guy who was supposed to be over center, he got hurt, Griff Whalen took over, didn't know that was there, so when he called for the ball, he snapped it. And the guy who was supposed to set the whole thing up lined up in the wrong place anyway. So one's actually on the player. But Pagano,
even if you're the backup guy, you got to know it's 2-on-5. You can't win that battle.
I give it to Chuck Pagano. That's my vote. When I read how from Pat McAfee, Pittsburgh's own Pat McAfee,
Plum Zone
Pat McAfee. When I read exactly what was going into that play, even more than before, I think it's on the coach.
Yeah, the only thing out of all the stuff we talked about, though, the one that directly impacts Pittsburgh most is Antonio Brown's situation or Joe Torre.
Yeah, Joe Torre does.
Joe Torre for not looking at Jung Ho Gong. So I always lean a little heavier on stuff that affects us here, unless it's so ridiculous.
Well, the Pagano thing was pretty ridiculous. It takes a lot for just one random regular season play to get the whole nation talking as much as this one did. I think the last regular season play to get people talking this much nationally was the screw-up in the end zone for the fake refs, the backup refs, the Fail Mary game between Seattle and Green Bay.
Well, I don't think anything was more talked about than the Michigan-Michigan State ending, but is there a real jag-off in there?
The punter kind of screwed up.
Yeah, he did.
I feel like I'm piling on with the poor punter now, the poor Australian rules.
He's handled it pretty well.
Well, how about they're making T-shirts with this guy? You know the guy they showed in the end zone, the Michigan fan with his hands on his head?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're making T-shirts of this. Of the kid crying.
He wants to capitalize?
I don't know.
Would
you sue for this? Is that a...
If Michigan State people were trying to...
You can't use somebody's image that's not a public figure, as far as I know.
If Michigan
He's
State people...
He's not a public figure. Or does he... I don't know the law. Does he become one because he was on TV?
If they're trying to glom onto my sadness to turn a buck, then yes, I demand some money out of it.
It's an Ohio T-shirt company. And they've got the stunned kid with the glasses on. So, I don't know, the creator is Cincy Shirts, and they've put it on with O-H-I-O, and the kid is the O. Like, he's got his hands on his head, and he's forming the O, like the old, the Buckeye thing.
Oh, yeah.
So they're mocking this kid with the Michigan shirt on.
Speaking of Ohio State, boy, John Tortorella and Urban Meyer in the same little city? That's a lot of ego for one town that size. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Ask the guy who did it. Ask him. It's one of the most arrogant organizations in the league.
Oh,
they whine about this stuff all the time, and look what happens. But they'll whine about something else over there, won't they? Starting with their two stars.
It's three freaking stars now.
When is the first Penguins-Jackets game? Is that coming up? I'm going to check the schedule for that one.
Yeah, well, we got our fancy schedule with the half-printed-out opponents on it. Let me see here.
Comb through that, Tim.
The Jackets play in Pittsburgh on the 13th of November.
All right.
It's a Friday night, kids. Get your tickets.
Crap, I'll be at a high school game.
And then at the Jackets on the 27th, which is Thanksgiving week.
Can't wait.
When I am going to be in Bermuda, so I won't be here for that.
Are you going to Bermuda?
Yes, going to the Battle of Atlantis featuring your Syracuse Orangemen.
You got your shorts?
My Bermuda shorts? Mm-hmm. I should get some, right? Just they have to be classic old
and
school.
And a scooter, right?
Yeah, a little hat.
I'm going to get some Duffy's beer to watch that Pens-Jackets game. You can too. Duffy's beer and much more. They bring the morning show to you on Trib Live Radio in Pleasant Hills at 412-653-BEER. And we are brought to you by Invisible Fence Brand. It's the brand vets recommend most for dog safety and freedom. InvisibleFence.com. Some Steelers news before we get back to the voting and open up the mailbag, guys.
Hey, one more Jagoff vote that I need to get in there before we get to Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
How about the dingbat who ran over the cop outside of Consol last night?
Oh, she knocked a phone pole, a metal phone pole over.
Right, yes. Holy shit. I've never seen anything like this, man. I'm dead serious. The only other two times I've seen police presence like this in Pittsburgh were A, the Stanton Heights thing, and B, the G20. Aside from that, I've never seen so many cops in one place in Pittsburgh. As
Josh
I
Taylor's
saw.
New Year's Eve party.
Well, there was that, too. Yeah.
With Todd Haley.
Mrs. Haley. And her
dressed
bottle
as
of
a pirate.
So I'm walking to my car. I parked up in the hill, and this one cop just blows by me, and then another, and then another, and then another. It was six squad cars, one fire engine, one ambulance coming from the hill down. And then I saw about a half dozen more. So it was like 12 cop cars, a fire engine, an ambulance, and a paddy wagon all around the Marriott, like right in front of the Marriott. I'm like, what the hell happened here? And then I got home, and I put on you guys' guy, and I guess you guys had the story by that point. It was I'm just assuming she was drunk, and maybe I shouldn't, but some lady knocked over a pole.
I thought this morning they did say
she was inebriated.
Yeah, I thought.
A light pole, and then she was backing up, like, you know, Austin Powers between two cars, one in front, one in back. I can't remember if it was you guys or two. I was going back and forth. One of the stations got the guy that kept getting hit when she was backing up. And then as she got around the two cars that she was slamming into, she ran over a cop. That's why all the cop
wow.
cars came from nowhere. Mm. But it was unbelievable. I mean, I guess he was talking. Apparently he's going to be okay. But
my father-in-law, when he was still alive, had this Cordoba. The hood of it was bigger than Brazil. I mean, this thing was so enormous, and he worked at the post office.
Is that a Chrysler?
And yes.
Chrysler.
And, but, I mean, you wouldn't. When I sat behind the wheel of the thing, I looked like I was looking at Nevada before the end of the car. And I'm sitting on my wife's front porch one day. We weren't married yet, and I don't think we were engaged. And it's summer, and he goes off from the post office, and he had a parallel park on the street. He didn't know I was on the porch. And as he pulls in, he taps the car behind him, pulls up, taps the car in front of him, pulls back, taps the car behind him again, and comes to the rest, and he walks up on the porch. And he says, oh, hi, guy. He says, how'd you like that parker job? That's what this reminds me of.
What kind of car was this lady driving?
It was just a little silver car. It was like a silver Honda. It wasn't very big.
Jeez. Well,
tell that to the cop, though.
Like that happens at 2 in the morning, and if it happens at 10 at night, what the hell you been doing? I mean, that just, you know what I mean?
I'm sure she was partying at, was it BRGR, the sushi place that's in the Consol Energy Center? Maybe she had some sweet seats or something. I don't know, but she was, I'm assuming she was hammered.
She was channeling her Alameda Te Amo.
That's kind of what it was like, and I'll tell you this much. Looking from up above in the press box, there are plenty of those sweet seats available last night at Consol Energy Center. The upper bowl was full, but the lower bowl, definitely the rich seats.
Hey, we're drinking wine in Club 66.
Country Club, in effect. Ben Roethlisberger is chatting with the media as we speak. Just want to give a couple tweets here from Ben. He was unaware what the plan for practice was, but he says, according to our Chris Adamski, he has six different braces to try out for practice, and he's excited to practice. He's unaware of how the knee will respond, but Tim, he can deal with the pain.
Oh, no. Here it comes. Here it comes. I can deal with it. I'm a tough guy. I will sacrifice for the team, which might sacrifice his time of possession and points if you're not ready, Ben, so be ready.
What? When did he start talking in the morning rather than the afternoon on Wednesday? This year?
Last year he started doing that, I think.
Well, is this year the first year for the 9:30?
Yeah, last year they did this, yeah.
They did 9:30 last year, too?
Yep. And nobody's available, so like the media stopped going, and then Ben said, let me talk in the morning before practice when nobody's here. Ben also praised Landry Jones. He said, quote, he did way better than I did. I went into Baltimore in 04 in my debut, and my head was spinning, end quote. He called Landry one of the smartest players he knows. And a couple other items. Mike Adams has talked and said he feels good, but there's no timetable on when he's ready to play. And also, Antoine Blake is in a cast today on his wrist.
Mm.
Not sure if that will or will not affect his playing status. And also, Chris Boswell, a.k.a. The Boz, has been named AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Good
I saw that. Yeah, the legend of Boz coming through.
So good news. and some bad news for the Steelers.
Four for four, but what do you have? One was 51, one was 47, right? I mean, that's what – if you're four for four and they're all 35-yarders, big deal.
True.
But to come in and do that in that situation and with two of them that distance, pretty special.
He's no Chris Blewett, but he's up there. You can email us, sportstalkatribweb.com.
Is that the worst name for a field goal kicker ever? Blewett?
Or the best.
Well, what was the game that he really blew? Was it that bowl game? Duke, okay.
I thought for sure, Guy, you were going to go the Pitt-Penn State Narduzzi
stuff
today.
Yeah, nothing for Narduzzi.
Oh, well, I mean, I he would be on the list, but the Torrey thing makes me – I mean, that's just a – that's not affecting anything.
It's an empowered executive not doing his effing job.
You can argue that that's where the Pirates season started to go downhill, even though they won eight in a row shortly after that. It affected McCutcheon and down the stretch and in the playoffs. It affected the team a lot. And the fact that he couldn't even get off his lazy ass long enough to look at the video of it, why? Because it didn't involve a New York or a Los Angeles team. That's what ticks me off.
Yeah.
He waits until something happens to one of the big teams before he looks at what happened in the Pirates-Cubs game.
Torrey's
and I like Joe Torrey. I like him a lot. I was blown away when I went up to cover the Pirates-Yankees series at Yankee Stadium. I walked into his office, and he talked to me like he had known me all his life. I thought, man, this guy's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had the same experience with him, actually. I don't like not liking him, but how do you like him after you hear that? I didn't even watch the bleeping play.
Don't just take the position to collect money and stay involved. Take the position if you're going to work it. If you're not going to work it, retire.
Well, look, just because you get a jag off of the week vote doesn't mean you hate the guy you're voting for. It's just he deserves it this week.
Yeah.
Well,
Narduzzi would be on the list if you're a Penn State fan. I mean,
I want to see how many Penn State fans we have listening, because I think this will be a good way to tell, don't you think, Ken? If Narduzzi wins, you know we have tapped into the Penn State populace, right?
Well, it's a good point. And James Franklin did respond sort of yesterday. Bob Cohen has this at TribLive.com, but he took the high road. He said, quote, "I don't want to read into anything. There have been comments and things I've said in the past that people have read into.
Come on.
Happy for them and the success they've had, but my focus is on Penn State completely." End quote. So your university guy comes off looking good there, I think.
Well, not according to Pitch Show Radio. He's backing down. He's a shrinking wallflower now. Because he won't thump his chest.
Well, Ken, I'm a little surprised at your take on this, because you're the one that said you liked it because you wanted to get the rivalry spirited again.
Yeah, I want Pitt to be noticed. I want Pitt to.
Well, it takes two to tango, and if he's not willing to dance, then aren't you let down?
No. Penn State doesn't need the attention as much as Pitt does. That's just the fact. They got to come up off the mat here and get the stadium sold out, you know? They're looking to sell tickets. Penn State does get people in there without Fritos and Pepsi.
Well, I mean, this is all well and good for a game that should sell out anyway, though, right?
this one will sell out, yeah.
Narduzzi yapping about Penn State ain't going to do shit for the North Carolina game.
It might. Headlines are headlines. Any attention is good attention. All right, we'll get some Penns talk in here in a moment. Get a couple votes in, though. First up is Spiggs. He tweets in, "Give me Antonio Brown, jag off of the week. It's getting harder and harder to root for an arrogant, self-centered football player, especially wide receivers. Hashtag just play the game." So Antonio Brown gets one to start us off here today. Jason in the Berg says, "I got to go Mike Ditka."
For farting on TV?
Yes. Did he? Yeah. Oh, I missed that.
He calls it a thunderous fart.
Yeah,
it was
thunderous. Can you see if you can find the audio from Mike Barker on that? It's all over the internet. Josh, if you wouldn't mind, ask Mike to see if he can find it. I'll set it up best as I can here.
We already had the Tom Sula fart that wasn't a fart, right?
Right. Did we play it?
An unfortunate leather squeak.
Okay, we'll have to do it back-to-back. We'll have to do a compare and contrast.
When that ever happens to you, and like it's your pants rubbing on the leather, don't you then like do it two or three times just so the person beside you knows
that
wasn't a fart?
And whoever the guy in the media was let everybody down by doing that because he didn't follow through. But yeah, I think the Tom Sula story was real. I think it was a guy in a leather chair. I buy that. The Ditka thing, because of Chris Carter's reaction, I think really was Ditka. And if Jimmy Kimmel did a thing on it last night. Ditka's talking. He turns and looks at Carter. Carter makes his point and is kind of laughing at whatever they were talking about. And then Ditka starts to chortle and kind of tilts his head. And when he tilts his head, a gaseous explosion comes out. And Carter looks like Carter gives it the weird eye, you know, like this, I don't want to say stink eye, but it was the stink eye. Carter clearly knew that a fart had just been projected his way.
Well, as Jason says, if you look at the video, like we're breaking it down like the Zapruder film.
Right.
It was well planned on Ditka's part. He gives a smile just before Carter is talking about the past, and then he makes the effort to slightly lean to the left to get the full effect for the farting sound.
He leans on butt cheek left to project gas right.
Jason says Ditka is Ditka. But he gets the jag off of the weak vote.
Yeah, Kimmel had it last night.
Good vote. Sean in Canada.
Like
emails.
I told you, Paul Long once said, Pittsburghers like to think their anchors fart once in a while.
There you go. Ditka and Tom Sula, both Pittsburghers, both in the news for this over the last month. Sean says, give me Mike Tomlin, guys, for jag off of the week. He's being a complete a-hole to every legitimate question posed at the presser yesterday.
Well, I wrote about this for Inside Pittsburgh Sports. I just tweeted it out, at Ben's Trib Live 970. I think he should start listing himself on the injury report with selective amnesia because he seems to forget all the questions that are now being fired his way about time and game situation. Like, for instance, he couldn't remember anything about the two-minute drill or the 43-second drill at the end of the second quarter. He said, I don't recall. He couldn't remember. What was the other one that he couldn't? I can't remember what he couldn't remember. He couldn't remember going for two.
Two-point
conversion. So he can't remember whether or not he went for two. He can't remember the last minute of the second quarter. However, he morphed into the African-American male version of Estelle Getty on the Golden Girls. It was Sicily, 1937, when he starts talking about Alejandro Villanueva.
Picture it,
yeah,
Sicily.
Picture it, Philadelphia. There's a man saluting the American flag during the national anthem that stands a head taller than everybody else. And he goes into this long thing about how the first time he saw Alejandro Villanueva, they had to find out more about this guy. And he broke down four random, obscure special teams plays from that game that had nothing to do with anything, but those he remembers. However, what we want to second guess him on, he doesn't remember anything about that. Do we have that audio, Josh?
I don't remember, man. I watched so much tape since then. I'm sorry, I get fuzzy rehashing some of this minute stuff. I stand by it. I don't remember the scenario, to be honest with you.
I don't remember it, but I know it was the right choice.
Some of this minute stuff.
Yeah, going for two was minute. Right, going for two was minute.
I'm not a kicker. I don't worry about it.
A three and out with 43 seconds left to go in the first half, that's minute. But seeing Alejandro Villanueva across the field during the anthem in Philadelphia a year ago, that you can remember like it freaking happened yesterday. Like it was the first time you saw your wife.
He is a jag off these pressers. How about him taking tearing Pursuta's you-know-what off with the JV quarterback thing, you know? Does anybody have any legitimate questions? Legitimate questions.
Legitimate
your quarterback's
questions,
audibled
yeah.
for the first time in a month, and you don't want to answer it. So, absolutely Tomlin worthy of votes today.
Well, that would have cast aspersions on his guy from his hometown.
Right.
Right.
And never say anything bad about Mike Vick.
The other thing I think it spoke to was Tomlin's fatigue with questions about the quarterbacks running the offense versus the coaches designing it.
In other words, fatigue about anything interesting or possibly interesting. Let's praise the Kansas City Chiefs at 1-5 and talk for 10 minutes about them.
I think Josh has the compare and contrast in the farts. Is that right, or you just have one? You just got the Ditka one? All right, let's hear the Ditka one.
This is beautiful.
Susie, I was from Philly, but they got rid of me, so I'm going with the Giants.
Well, let's see, if the Giants win, they're in first.
Wow.
If the Eagles win, they're in first.
Now, lost on radio, of course, is the magic of Chris Carter's reaction. Boy, that sounded even more amplified than it was before.
That's a
Susie, I was from Philly, but they got rid of me, so I'm going with the Giants.
Well, let's see, if the Giants win, they're in first. If the Eagles win, they're in first.
That's not a fart. That's Chris Berman.
That was old man Windy Sphincter fart right there.
That's a full up and a downbeat. I mean, that is... that's a whole note.
Like, you went through the eye of the hurricane and then came back for the back end.
Really?
Jeez. Josh, see if Mike can find the Tom Sula, because I do want to do a compare and contrast. Just look up Tom Sula fart. It's not hard to find on the internet. I want to do a compare and contrast on it.
See, the Tom Sula fart's not real, though, so it shouldn't even be compared. I mean, the guy's being tortured for something that didn't happen. I feel bad for Tom Sula on that one. All right, anyway, Mike asks emails. Give me Columbus, guys, for hiring John Tortorella for Jag Off of the Week.
The Blue Jacket organization?
That's it. No explanation.
Arrogant
needed.
Organizations in the league right there, I tell you.
They'll win 8 of their next 10 games, I'll bet. Well, that might be a little much. 7 of their next 10. I don't know about long-term success because he wears thin on people real quick, but
yep.
He'll whip them into shape in a hurry.
Well, that's scary. In that case, it's a good
move. Hey, 0-7's enough to cost you the season. I mean, that'd be like 0-14 to start a baseball season, or, you know, I mean, that's a horrendous start.
If the Penguins had started 0-7 last year like this, Connor McDavid would be playing here this year.
What, they would have tanked?
Yes.
Michael Lemieux? Yeah, maybe that's a better plan for Columbus, although they do have some higher-paid players now. Luke and Lebo says, it takes me a lot to not vote Antonio Brown for Jagoff of the Week this week, guys, but I'm sure he'll do it again this Sunday, so I'm going to save that vote. Got to vote for Johnny Football this week for having his own girlfriend say to police that he hit her a few times and pushed her face against the car window as he was driving after they were both drinking. No criminal charges were filed because she refused to press charges. I assume it's okay to vote on this since it's not criminal behavior. Yeah, I guess so. It didn't go to criminal vote.
Rehab didn't take for Johnny Manziel, huh?
Man, I mean,
well,
this guy's a mess.
Well, what's she threw his wallet out the window. Did you see that? They got in an argument, and she threw his wallet out the window.
She was threatening
to jump out of the moving car, and he grabbed her arm to keep her from opening the door and trying. She was more lit than he was. He's been in things before. I don't know who to believe here, but there's two sides to every story.
So they didn't give him a sobriety test, right? I mean, is that the deal?
They didn't give him one, no.
He said to police he had a couple drinks. They let him go.
Drinking earlier in the day.
So that's a question for, you know, what the Cleveland police should have done in this case or should not have done. I don't know. I didn't see it. They had the dashboard camera, and I didn't want to watch that.
Yeah, it was a little. I don't know. It wasn't all that interesting. I did watch it because I wanted to see something funny happened, like a drunken Johnny Manziel stumble into traffic or something like that, but it didn't happen. He sounded sober. It almost sounded like maybe he really did have two drinks earlier in the day and he was fine by that point. But
we didn't get the Bob Huggins look there.
No, it was just not even close to Huggins, unfortunately.
Nobody will top Huggins on the dashboard cam. That's unbeatable. Sam emails the show. I've got to go jag off of the week, guys, for the Pirates GM. Neil Huntington, he was on Brand X. He's already telling fans they won't sign Melanson because it's too much money, so they can take Melanson and make him look like the bad guy for wanting lots of cash. Stop feeding us BS. If Melanson, Walker, and Pedro make the team better, keep them or sign them. So Neil Huntington gets a vote. You brought up those quotes last week, Tim. Melanson's not going to look like the bad guy for wanting money because he's in arbitration, so he's going to make $10 million whatever, you know, no matter what. He won't look like a bad guy at all here, right?
Well, no, but Huntington is still positioning the Pirates as being the victim of big market circumstance, that these are the prices we have to pay these guys, and poor us, we can't do it.
Well, they've succeeded in that. I mean, other than Sam and a few other emailers, most people wholeheartedly buy into that now, don't they?
They're as much concerned about Nutting's profits as they are wins and losses.
And they say, yeah, he's making too much. That's the first animosity I've even read from any of our listeners about Melanson leaving. It's almost a fait accompli. Yeah, he's going to be gone.
That's how things work around here. Well, you should try to keep somebody. You know, I just want to see what they're planning to do to replace these guys.
Yeah, I don't like Worley leaving. I mean, he's not he's a body that you needed in a rotation. I said the same thing last October, though. I didn't think they would sign Liriano. I had no idea A.J. Burnett was coming back here. It looked just as dark, so let's wait and see. But they better not be banking too much on Tyone or any of their young pitchers right now who are either injured or have had no experience above AA. These guys are not going to be ready to set the world on fire in April, you wouldn't think.
Chris in Boulder emails and says, give me Mike Tomlin for Jagoff of the Week, guys. For not throwing a pep rally for Landry Jones, Jagoffian, obviously. That was your question, right, Tim? You asked him about the Landry ball skills and his.
Yeah, I asked him if I wanted to see if I could get the same quote out of him that we got from the players about being surprised, because I wanted him to go down the path of, oh, we're not surprised. Of course we're not surprised. Like, just like
Vince Williams and David DeCastro did, because then he does enter into jag-off realm then, because then why the hell did you sign Michael Vick? If you're not surprised that your third-string quarterback could do this, then you never should have signed Michael Vick in the first place.
Well, as a fan, you're happy they won the game, and I think as a human, we're all happy that Landry Jones had a chance to perform and did well. But as an organization, most view that they wasted a pick on Landry Jones, took him way too high as a guy that has never even dressed or gotten into a game until this week. And now it looks like he's better than the guy that you were afraid of putting him in a game, so you went out and signed him. So it looks like you made mistakes on both fronts,
and you only
won the game because the guy got hurt. You had nothing to do with it. It wasn't your decision-making at all. It was pure ass-backwards luck.
Well, what did you think of his answer, Tim? It was... I mean, the fact that he said we're not going to throw a pep rally for him, kind of Tomlin's actually kind of standing by. We didn't know he'd be this good, but we expect anybody when they get in there to be. It's not a bad answer from that point of view, right?
Well, it just speaks to the whole next man up parlance, yeah. You know?
Right.
Back to Manziel for just a second here. I knew I remembered this. Remember, this is the same girl that said on the record somewhere that she wasn't going to stop partying just because Johnny went into rehab. Remember that?
Mm. Yeah.
Remember, like, I looked it up here again. It's on Sports Grid is where I found it.
Oh, good. Find another millionaire to date then.
Right, he went into rehab, and she went on the record somewhere or tweeted or something that she wasn't going to start partying just because Johnny had to stop. Like, that was her thing. People were asking her, aren't you going to stop partying? Because she's like a little party animal. That's her thing. She's like a Paris Hilton. She's a socialite. Just because she's Johnny Manziel's girlfriend, she's famous. So are you going to stop your partying ways to help your guy get sober? And she said, no, screw that. Give me another gin and tonic, you know? And now here you get this situation where they're both bombed, and apparently she was more bombed than he was even.
This guy's going to be out of the league in a year. I mean, Merrill was dead on about this. Merrill Hodge is always right on quarterbacks. Dan in Canonsburg emails, give my vote to the entire Cubs organization. This gang of gagging punks went into this Mets series with an air of arrogance, like the rest of the playoffs were all about their coronation. Led by Jagoffs, Joe Maddon, and Jake Arrieta, they're getting some overdue lessons in humility. The way they talked and acted, they needed to back it up, and they didn't. I hope I get to watch these Jags take the ultimate medicine tonight in their home park with a Mets sweep. That from Dan.
I want to say one thing, though. Watching even the ninth inning last night, I can imagine what PNC Park would be like if you're ready to get down 3-0 in a playoff series. Those fans were still making noise, still on their feet, still kind of, I mean, it's been a long, I know how long it's been, I know all the stuff, but they're still pretty good fans. I don't mind their fans as much as I do the current group of players and manager.
Even the players, I mean, is Arrieta a Jagoff? I guess he was tweeting at...
Yeah, you took that a lot harder than I did. I didn't think that was that big of a deal, to be honest with you.
I thought his answers were all fine before and after that game. Even after he didn't make a big deal out of getting hit, he could have been a big baby about that, too.
Maybe it was a big deal.
People didn't like how brimming with confidence he was, but you know what? He should have been. He should have been confident.
Tony Watson rattled him, though, for the next round.
Yes, the 93-mile-an-hour sinker into his non-throwing arm.
Zappa emails.
How about Joe Maddon getting a vote for the Rocky thing, not knowing that Rocky lost?
You could go that way. You going to switch your vote from Pagano?
No, I'm still going with Pagano. What'd you snap it for?
Zappa emails. Give me James Franklin, the Jagoff of the Week vote for horrible coaching in the Ohio State game and keeping Suckenberg in late in the game when it was over. It was out of reach. He needs to get another guy in there for game practice for next year, since the whole staff has just ruined a decent quarterback into the next coming of Anthony Morelli.
Oh, we have not had an Anthony Morelli reference in a long time.
Well, I don't know where everybody, you know, I don't know where everybody thinks Hackenberg is the next coming of Johnny Unitas, because he threw the ball to Allen Robinson 40 times and Robinson took off and turned him into touchdowns when he was a freshman. Did that have anything to do with it, because they had an offensive line then that put guys into the NFL? You know, Bill O'Brien gets all the credit for tutoring him and making him a great – I'd like to see Bill O'Brien coach him with what they have on that offensive line up there right now.
Noted curler Andy Banfield would care to weigh in from the – what precinct is Andy hailing from? He's the Moon Township area?
Shaler.
Oh, Shaler. Andy says, I'm part of the Penn State audience you guys are talking about tapping into. I've got no problem with what Narduzzi said. Sometimes the truth hurts. Hackenberg is not the quarterback for the offense they want to run, and usually the staff adjusts to their personnel, but it's not happening. So while I still bleed blue and white, oh well. Jag off of the week goes to Joe Torre, without a doubt, for his comments. Absolutely ridiculous.
I'll go back to what I said yesterday. If Narduzzi wants to run his mouth, that's fine. That's okay. Just understand you have accomplished nothing so far, and you are setting yourself up. You better freaking beat Syracuse. You better freaking beat North Carolina and Duke. Or if you beat those teams, don't fall apart down the stretch against Louisville or Miami, because this is all people will do, will throw this in your face. You're too worried about Penn State next year. You didn't focus on the end of the season. You blew a chance of winning the Coastal and going to the ACC championship game. People will, and rightfully so, people, Penn State people, whoever, Pitt people, will hold this over his head if they don't follow through and win this division now.
Jag off of the week off and running. We've got the three T's in the lead right now. Torrey, Tomlin, and Torts. You could make a difference. We'll select our winner by 12:30 today.
No support for Pagano, huh?
Not yet. Gonna have to play that audio a couple more.
What about the
times.
Fourth T, Tom Sula? Do we have the Tom Sula fart in there to compare and contrast yet, Josh? We're still waiting on it. Gas is building up.
That Ditka fart is awesome. That really is good. All right, let's talk a little Penguins, guys, here on the Morning Sports Report, presented by Invisible Fence Brand. We've helped over 2 million pets enjoy more freedom in their yards so owners can relax and not worry about them running away. I told you the importance of power play yesterday on the show, and you guys tried to shout me down.
Yeah, right.
Didn't matter in the regular season. Yeah, yeah. Actually, it was the other way around.
Jason Mackey told you Sid's got to shoot more to score more, and he did.
Yeah, I'm just glad that Sidney Crosby is a loyal listener and reader of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review and Trib Live Radio, because he read the article yesterday that said if he wants to score more goals, he needs to shoot the puck at the net more. So it's good that he was on that.
Hey,
good research.
They have righted what looked like a badly battered listing ship after three games.
But the SS Tortorella was coming over the horizon there.
Even last night, they blew a 2-0 lead in the third period at home and got some couple of nice breaks from the officials to get to 2-0, and they still had to go to overtime. Well, maybe I'm being too hard because they had a goal taken back too, but I was not impressed with their third period effort after they got up 2-0. Sorry.
Boy, some bizarre calls in this game. And replays. It was all bogged down. It was a tough watch. Second period was as bad as like the Steelers' first half.
Sid was great, though. Sid was engaged. Whether it was face-offs, shoving Yager around, scoring, assisting, just he was all over the place. That's the Crosby that we expect to see three nights out of four.
I mean, I think the Penguins got robbed on that third goal, though. Should have been a goal.
The first goal for Florida should have been a goal, too.
How did they rule it, allegedly, on the ice as a no goal first? And where did that ever happen? Where did it happen that it was a no goal?
Which one are we talking about now?
The Riley Smith one.
Oh, the high stick?
Yeah.
They said they didn't make a call either way.
Huh?
They said there was no call on the ice.
Who said? How can you have no call?
No, I thought it was called a goal because that's what Erie said. He said that's a good. It's going to be hard to overturn.
I thought it was called a goal.
I listened to the post game of the Florida coach.
Yeah,
he said although one official said it was a goal, they huddled up and then they went with we have not made a decision, and they went to Toronto without any call on the ice.
Yeah.
See, I thought they said in the arena it was a no goal on the ice. The call stands, no goal. Didn't they say that on the ice?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to hear from.
How do you go with anything but it's a goal, and then you overturn it if you have the evidence to overturn it? You can't. If part of instant replay is you have a call, and then that is either deemed to be right or wrong, but if it's a 50-50, you can't break from what the ref said. You have to make an original call. You have to make an initial call.
I would think so, yeah.
I don't know, let's go look at the replay.
Well, they're going to lean on that now. That is one of the downsides of being able to review everything. There's only one challenge, but the overtime stuff came from Toronto. They're just going to replay that anyway.
Gerard Gallant better figure out how the challenge works, too.
Yeah, he was just hot all night.
No, yeah, but, I mean, they wanted to challenge the one call on the Penguins, and he didn't get the challenge in time. They dropped the puck and started playing.
Yeah, he was pissed about that because he said he was trying to, and they wouldn't look at him. and his centerman was like not getting the faceoff circle, and they still dropped the puck anyway. I don't know. I guess both teams got a break. Is that fair to say? I thought the Penguins did score the third, but maybe you're right. Maybe the Riley Smith goal should have stood.
And Rob Scuderi was lifting his stick into the air anyway.
He was.
I don't know if that matters or not, but the action of Riley Smith having his stick brought up was very much a part of Scuderi lifting it in the first place. Maybe that matters, maybe it doesn't, but yeah, I think both of the non-goals should have been goals.
I agree.
I think those two counter.
I agree. The bottom line is they allowed them to come back from a 2-0 deficit in the third period at home, and even though they won it in overtime, it's a conference team that gets a point that they shouldn't have gotten, in my opinion.
And we're getting outskated badly, right? I mean, just stuck in their zone, couldn't get out. That McKenzie goal, they were just five guys in the Penguins zone just not moving, which is not a good sign. Like you say, Guy, you hate to jump on them because they have won three in a row. They have righted the ship. That's accurate. But they are getting outplayed for large stretches of these games, which makes you concerned.
Well, McKenzie did a great job of shaking Letang behind the net initially.
Letang was awful last night. Awful, awful, awful. Waving at the pucks in front of the net instead of playing the man, which directly resulted in one goal. And I know he got an assist on the game-winning goal, but I thought he was terrible.
Well, and that McKenzie line was good. I mean, you give them some credit, but they played the night before, right? So you caught another team on the back-to-back.
Yeah, that first goal, Howden. Was that his name, Howden?
Yeah.
He was lost by Letang. And then
Letang, he was sweeping snow off his front doorstep, trying to gather that puck, and he allowed him to roof it. He should have just knocked him over.
Yeah, Fleury had tried to clear the puck, and it never got out. And then when Letang left him, all of a sudden he was in front of the net alone and got the goal on Fleury.
Is the power play fixed? I mean, are these two, like the overtime goal is 4-on-3, so it's a little bit of a different animal, but
no, it's not fixed. In fact, it's probably now going to be in worse shape because Sid scored from the right circle, so now he's never going to leave.
It looked good though last night. They kept up pressure. They kept possession, even when they weren't scoring. I thought it was a good power play.
Now I joke about that a little bit, but you know, truth to the other side, he scores from the right circle on the power play, right, which was clearly inspired by the Potashtic video that was tribute for Dan Potash in his 15 years with Root Sports. I think that was the inspiration to get
that. That was the Rocky. That was, yes, Joe Madden's Rocky music there.
Yeah, so they do the video tribute to Potash, and a couple minutes later, Sid finally scores, and they finally get a power play goal from the top of the right circle. So I'm thinking to myself, well, that's it. Power play will never score again because Sid's never going to leave the right dot. But in the very next power play, he actually started on the other side, but he kind of gravitated around the net and came back to the right circle, and Gino, who had been in the right circle, swapped out. I still think it should be the other way around. I still think Gino should be in the right circle. I think you saw evidence of that on the overtime goal when he got in there first, and what happened? They scored, and they won the game. Again, that was 4-on-3, so it's a little bit of a different animal.
Well, they did make some power play changes. You got to give them some credit for that, regardless of where Sid's position was, just on the guys playing on the first and second unit. So
yeah, Kunitz did have a bit of a screen there, right?
Yeah, the first one. Absolutely. And that's what you like about Kunitz. He's not afraid of getting his nose dirty in there. And I think that's what they lack most on their power play when it's not successful. Too much perimeter passing, no one willing to take an elbow to the nose to poke one in.
Mike has an email, which I kind of like and agree with here to a certain extent. He says, is it me or have the Penguins under Johnston always look gassed in the third period? He always preaches fast starts, which is all well and good, but they seem to be hanging on for wins. They outshoot Florida 16-5 in the third and then get outshot 16-5 themselves in the third. In the first, outshot in the third. This goes back to last year as well.
Well, they didn't have one single third period come from behind win last year. Not one.
That's stunning.
Which is incredible for a team with their offensive talent. So I think there is something to that. And then the other part of it is, the other fair part of it is, though, if you're down 2-0, you're going to be the more desperate team. You're probably going to be in a little bit more of a defensive mode. You know, people would be screaming if they're out there all hell-bent trying to get that third goal and they give up an odd man break and makes it 2-1. Suddenly it's a close game. I'm not saying you got to be in a shell, but I think especially at 2-0, if it's 3 or 4-0, or even 1-0, you're still pressing, trying. 2-0. It's you. After they got the second goal, you're probably, you know, you're probably going to be in a more defensive mode.
Well, that's the first third period goal they've scored all year. You know, in six games, they have one goal in the third period.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
That's coaching, isn't it? That's adjustments or teams figuring you out or you not. I mean, Bosma's teams seem to have a better knack for that, I got to say, of wearing teams down by the third period. I think it is something to be to keep an eye on, how they finish.
Meanwhile, Ken, while we're talking hockey and SportsCenter, they're going into about a 17-minute video here about the woes of the Chicago Cubs over the years. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if all the national posers who fawned over the Cubs beating the Cardinals are going to do the same thing for the Mets now, or are the Mets not cute enough?
You're going to give me credit for the Billy Goat turning 71 if this happens?
No, I'm not going to give you credit for the Billy Goat because you said the Billy Goat curse was going to manifest at PNC Park.
Well, it was a little early, all right? It still came around again. It's not over, though, I will say. I mean, if the Cubs win today and then they get Arrieta and Lester back.
The Jagoffs of the week should be whoever it was that figured out the Back to the Future 2 connection. Because, as it turns out, that date, that October whatever it is date that they arrived on, is it today? Today's
today.
Date is the day that they could get swept.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Not the day they win the World Series.
Scotty J emails the show. He says, Penguins forward seemed to play a pretty good game to me, guys. Sid and Gino in the power play were all clicking. If the Stars produce, the power play will be fine. Torts will be entertaining to watch, but he's a Jagoff, and so is Columbus for hiring him. And he also points out that the Mets did get screwed last night with a ground rule that happened after the ball was in the ivy. Baseball needs to change that rule for Wrigley Field. Actually, didn't see that sequence.
No, I missed that, too. I mostly watched the Penguins and
yeah,
just flipped back
Penguins
and forth.
All night.
And as he points out, Murphy and Schwarber are lighting up the postseason. Those guys are.
Well, we know why Murphy's lighting it up now. Did you guys see Twitter? What Twitter informed us, the reason why Daniel Murphy is so hot right now?
No.
Apparently, Lisa Ann has entered the picture.
With, oh, God.
Daniel Murphy? Yes.
Wow.
She tweeted a photo of herself wearing Daniel Murphy's jersey and, you know, the little hearts and smoochy face emojis or whatever. And a little Let's Go Mets thing. So everybody has taken a run with that. I'm trying to remember the athletes she has conquered in the past, if they've done well or not. I mean, what happened?
Women weaken the legs, Rock.
Whatever happened to that Notre Dame kid, the 18-year-old she was with, or the other kid from Ohio State? Did they go on to anything? Was it Joey? It wasn't Joey Bosa, was it? It was somebody a little bit more obscure than that at Ohio State. So
did Murphy confirm this, or is she just an admirer from afar?
I don't think she has confirmed it yet, but there's got to be. I mean, she's from like the Philly area. She's from Easton. So it's not like she grew up, I don't think, rooting for the Mets. I'd be surprised to learn that. I would have thought that she was a Phillies fan. So I would imagine that their paths have crossed, so to speak.
Hey, here's a vote from Vicky in Cali. She passes on a story from our Trib about the Mount Pleasant Youth Football League season canceled over threats. I don't know if you guys saw this.
No.
From out Greensburg way, where I grew up. Four gun shell casings with the name of Mount Pleasant Junior Football League officials and referees written on them in ink have caused the end of the season for 150 players. They found the gun shells at this field in Norvelt, out my way, and because of safety issues, officials canceled the season. So
this isn't high school. This is junior football?
This is junior football. So junior football league.
The refs of a junior football league are being threatened with gunfire.
Refs and a coach, did you say?
Names of officials and referees. So just refs. Oh.
I think Twitter's made a lot of people bold in anonymous ways. That's what I think.
Twitter, but this is actually...
I know, but my point is nobody would follow through on it. I think everybody figures out a way to be as tough as possible without attaching their name, face, or identity to anything.
Man. That's pretty disturbing. State police are involved. They're investigating, but no suspects have been identified. That's
how do you get
week.
That riled up over junior football, like little kid football?
Yeah. If we found out who they were, they'd certainly be in... Well, and then again, that's criminal behavior, too, so I'm not sure it would be in today.
No, I think that's fine. You could vote for the Jagoffs who threatened little football league coach refs with gunfire.
With gun casings.
Freaking stupid.
Vote here for a Pac-Man Jones interview. I didn't see this. Narcos in Bethel Park said they interviewed Pac-Man Jones in the locker room. Way too much skin for the interview to be carried on live TV.
Yeah, I heard about this. Was it the? I thought I didn't know it was the Bengals, but it wasn't just him, correct?
Oh, you must have been people in the background.
It wasn't all of Pac-Man's power pills that were about to be gobbled up by the cameras. I think there were a few other involved.
Winky
there.
And Blinky
yeah,
were
Inky
in the background.
Yeah, Winky and Blinky were in the background, too.
Oh, good. That's great. And one more vote here before we bring Rossi on. Dave and Collier, give me Tomlin for Jagoff of the Week, guys. Just overall presence. Also, I think he's covering his own butt on Dree Archer and keeping him just because it's his pick.
God, does he stink.
He also praises Vic but downplays Landry Jones. Makes me wonder about the race part of it. Well, hey, that's...
Gee, I never thought of that.
Let's not go down that road.
Why not? If it were reversed, you would.
Oh, that's a pretty.
Oh, it is, but I mean, you know, the race card got played in the game where the coach told the kids to go hit the referee. The immediate thing was, oh, he made a racial comment.
Well, they said there was a racial comment.
Yeah, but we talked about that.
All right, Josh has informed me here that Jeff Harriman is the former Ohio State tight end that Lisa Ann hooked up with. He did wind up in Broncos camp, but he blew out his ACL during minicamp.
And so, she moved on to baseball.
Daniel Murphy, look out.
Well,
we don't know about what happened to Justin Brent. I thought he transferred. Something tells me that did he transfer? Look that up, Josh.
She sparked Murph.
Yeah, it's working for Murph.
He might have enough more home runs than anybody in baseball postseason history ever. He's like two away from Bonds.
B.B. Jones didn't do anything negative to Rob Gronkowski, I can tell you that much.
No, that's true.
He never hit more than 14 in a season.
Top of the hour on Mondays, Wednesday, and Fridays, the 11 o'clock hour. That is Rob Rossi is our guest. We'll get Rob on. Does he believe the Penguins have righted that ship that Guy talked about? Will he give them any credit for being 3-3 after an 0-3 start? My guess is no, but I could be proven wrong. Our trip column is next.